the roads stay okay if it at 28 degrees. So
do they even treat the roads with salt? I guess they must.
No, just the traffic itself just keeps the ice off the road. And okay, that road's pretty well traveled. And so it's just
a road well traveled.
Yeah.
All right. What's the highlight or low light of the last week? What do you got? Anything extraordinary, or are you still rubber babying it up?
I'm still fascinated by the Middle East. And I guess that video right there that I just put up like a half an hour ago,
they
showed us this image from Baghdad where the Americans have retaliated for, you know, the attack at Tower 22, that base there in
Jordan. Tower 22. That's Phil, that's gonna be a movie within the year. As a matter of fact, you know, and I know the script is already done.
Yeah,
it's in the can, isn't it?
It's gonna be a movie about a movie.
Exactly. But that's how they're gonna confirm it. But it's gotta be done already. It's already filmed. As a matter of fact, I think what you'll see in the movie was filmed for whatever you're going to show us on this thing, I bet.
Uh-huh.
I haven't even seen it. I just heard about Tower 22.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, well, they sent back the three dead in a casket, and Joe Biden went out to the tarmac and gave a military salute to the, but I mean, I wanted to go there and open up those caskets, 'cause I know they're empty, or they've got, you know, like some teddy bears in there, or they probably have drugs in there. You know, they probably have opium in there. But and this whole retaliation that we did last night looks fake as hell, and it's just, it reminded me of the Soleimani assassination. Remember when retaliated?
That was Trumpy.
Yeah, that was Trumpy, because the Iranians came and attacked our embassy in Iraq or something, and if you looked at the footage from that, it was just hilarious. These guys are out there just kind of throwing rocks around, and they lit a tire on fire and they rolled it past the camera. Oh, that looks really riot-y. It's like the burning tire rolling in front of the camera always does the trick, and then everybody's convinced it's a real attack. And as a retaliation for that, they bombed Soleimani's car, and then they had a picture of his severed hand, and they identified him by his ring on his finger, and it turned out to be the wrong ring. And the whole thing was just a laughable fake. And so after years of watching this stuff in the Middle East, it's all been a theater. It's all been a stage show. And I guess I should have known it all along, because, you know, the Jews invented Hollywood. And so when the Jews move into your neighborhood, it's going to be one big Hollywood scene. And so it's...
All right. Hey, Phil, if you can hear me, I got to reboot my studio here. So you might hear me twice. Let's see. I'm trying to get in the studio in the other browser. I'm locked out of my own studio. All right.
Oh.
So now hold on.
It sounds like you're in the Forbidden Zone. Or in the Superman movie when they put the bad guys in that little cage. And they were like with their hands on the glass. Going, let me out. And anyway, your voice was echoing, so it reminded me of that movie. I don't know, that's just dumb, crazy. I can't watch movies anymore. They don't entertain me anymore. I hate Hollywood. I know, and all my heroes are gone too. Neil Armstrong, Ronald Reagan. All of my heroes have been dashed to the rocks. JFK, I think JFK was this guy that tried to take on the New World Order. But now I know that JFK faked his death, and all the Kennedys faked their death. So, you know, all of my heroes have been dashed to the ground. And so when you get to that point, it's like,
all right, I'm back. Now you can hear me. God.
Yeah.
This technology is always going to bring me down. Now let me just start up my Let me start up all the slides again. Sorry about this, people. This is a comedy of errors, I know. Let me just get this. This is a problem when I do video. You know, I wouldn't care about any of this if I wasn't on video, because the podcast works just freaking fine.
Yeah.
When people want the video, this is what happens. So let's just bring up the watch the show live. So that should work. There you go. All right, we're back. So let's bring up Phil's page now. And where were we? Where we were so rudely interrupted here.
Oh, we were talking about that.
Oh, right.
Baghdad attack. Well, only because I caught a little bit of the mainstream news when I got home, and they were covering it like this real serious advancement in the conflict over there.
Oh,
and all these Hezbollah people have sworn that they're going to get revenge for it. And it's so I thought this looks really fake. And so, you know, it's just a picture of a car burning, and that's it. You know, and usually when a car is struck by a missile, it looks like it was struck by a Molotov cocktail. The car was burning. Like a missile will blow the car apart, you know, into pieces. But see right there. Yeah. See, that's.
You see this on the side of the 405 in LA, don't you?
Yeah, that's just a car burning. No.
I saw a burning SUV today.
And supposedly there's three people in there burning to death. And of course we have video of it.
Now that's a true Holocaust, by the way.
Yeah.
Death by fire. That is most, I think that's high on the nightmare list of burning by fire, immolation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's most people wouldn't choose to die by fire, no. Yeah. And so here the car's on its side. You see in that first image, the car was straight up, and now the car's on its side. So how did the car get on its side?
And you know, let's be clear. This could be done on one of these big sound stages. I hear Germany has a huge sound stage with surround green screen.
Yeah.
Digital LED green screen.
Oh, sure.
So, this could be totally composite. So in case anyone thinks this is actually wherever it's supposed to be, this could be on a soundstage. And now they don't have to go anywhere. So they can film all this stuff inside. Nobody can see anything.
Yeah.
Just to let everyone know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So many different possibilities.
And why do people accept this? Two anonymous U.S. officials. Do we not have people working on behalf of the military that can give their names? This is unacceptable to any. This should be clue number one.
Yes. There's a lot of red flags on this short little news story. It's they packed a lot of bullshit in a minute.
Don't accept this, people. Don't accept this as evidence. This is not evidence.
In 90 seconds, they packed a lot of bullshit. So I thought I'd do a quick little show. But this is supposed to be a severe escalation in the Middle East conflict. It's like, well, it's well within the possibility that they might do a World War III thing out of these stupid events. I mean, they have started wars before over
nothing. Events.
Yeah. Oh. And so I don't want to belittle it too much. They certainly could go crazy with it. And, we got to stop falling for this. I mean, you know, I don't know, Henry Ford was saying that we shouldn't go to war in World War II. And he had a bigger voice than me. He had his own newspaper, Dearborn Independent.
Right.
And he wasn't able to stem the tide. And so, you know, I'm not going to be able to stem the tide either. It's just, it's like, I hope they don't,
We already are in World War III. We don't need any, there's going to be no kinetic war, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, see, I don't think that they can really do a real war because, see, these people need to make their elites happy. You know, all these people that graduated college and have these fake master's degrees and they hang them on their wall because they've been promised that they're going to be a celebrity for the rest of their life. And they get invited to all the finest dinner parties. And then they get introduced as this great engineer, this great philanthropist, or this great author. Oh, he's a great author. But it's all just a they just write about bullshit. And see, if the world gets exposed as just being all just nonsense, well, then all these people will lose their master's degree, and then they'll be pissed off. It's like, hey, it's like you promised me that I'd be a celebrity for the rest of my life. And so all these we're surrounded by elites that they just think they're so much smarter and better than everyone. And that's how this society functions. And that's how they hold it together. And if they piss off those people, it'll all fall apart. And so it's like, they can't start a real war, you know? And
I don't even think we have much of a military to fight it personally. Plus there's no one to fight against.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just going to be firing at each other. So, and that's probably how most people actually die in these so-called, they don't even call them wars. When was the last declared war? I think it was World War II.
Yeah, December 8th, 1941.
So Korea wasn't a war. It was a, what was it? I can't remember. It was
police action.
Right, police action. Vietnam was not a war.
Yeah, I think that was
something else too. It was not a declared war. Yeah, it was a UN sanctioned peacekeeping mission or something. The Gulf War was not a war. It was something else as well.
Trying to stop the spread of weapons of mass destruction or something. Yeah.
Right. Was that the first one or the second one? I can't remember. I remember listening to the war stories on the radio when I was driving around in I think it was 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it on the radio. But I was trying to follow it during that period of time.
Yeah, the first one was the war because we had to defend Kuwait because the Iraqis had invaded Kuwait.
Well, it happened just like World War II. They were told they could go to Kuwait. The minute they crossed the border, they said, no, we didn't say you could go to Kuwait. It was the same with Hitler. He was told, okay, it's all right if you go secure the Gdansk area. And the minute he crossed over, he said, no, we're declaring war on you. We didn't say you could do that.
Yeah.
They should get it in writing next time.
Well, you know, they did, but we just don't hear any of that news. And I think Saddam Hussein was their agent all along anyway. And so he's not going to raise much of a stink because that execution, when they hung him, that was just so fake as hell. It's like, so that means he was working for him with them the entire time. And so, you know, it's really kind of.
Well, same with Gaddafi.
I think so. I mean, I used to think that he looked like he was bloodied and, but not really. Now that I look at it with my new eyes, it's like, well, he had some fake blood on his face, but it's like, I didn't see anything broken. I didn't see his nose broken.
There were also many Gaddafis because, first of all, they changed the spelling of his name every time he was in the news. And he always looked different.
Yeah. All these guys have stunt doubles. This latest Vladimir Putin is just hilarious.
I just did a search. I just typed in the many faces of Gaddafi.
Okay.
And somebody does have I don't know if this is a legit article. What the hell? Register paywall. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe that doesn't have the different pictures. But if you just do a search on the images, I think you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think he looked so different towards the end. I'm pretty sure we're looking at different people.
Oh, yeah. They all have stunt doubles.
Like this guy was a real pathetic one. I remember. There were so many. Here's the death picture, I guess. Yeah. So there you go. I think there were two or three for sure. Oh, here's your death picture. These guys are such ghoulmeisters.
Yeah. Huh. Well, see, I don't see anything broken on his face. Usually when you get beat to death, they break your nose.
No, he got the broomstick up the ass, actually, I think.
Okay, well.
They always, you know, these guys are so sick. They always like to point these things out. I remember that.
Yeah.
This one, he does not look like him at all. Anyway, you can add that to your list of things to look into.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's
There's people playing with the Photoshop there.
You can't trust a thing from
the
world of politics. It's just all just theater. Not a thing. Especially in politics.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's sad. But that's good. That's good Afi for you. And I agree with you. So, I wonder if do you remember the two? They said there were Saddam had twin sons, Uday and.
Yeah, I don't remember them being twins, but yeah, he did have two sons, and they were executed too. I was going to look at the or one of them I know was executed. I was going to look to see if they had a video on him.
One of them had some kind of meat grinder they threw their enemies in. I remember that story.
Mm.
Like, they always come up with the most disgusting stories, these guys that make these stories. I got to look that up. Any enemy of his he would be putting a meat grinder, something like that. I know someone who's listening will hear that. Uday, Saddam's sons. Uday, what's the other one? It reminds me of Magnum's dog, Zeus and Apollo. It's Uday and something else. Uday and Faraday. I don't remember. Let's look it up. Yeah. Uday. Oh, Kuse and Uday. Kuse. Hey, yeah. Kuse, what's going on?
I think so. All of it needs to be reanalyzed. Well, certainly from this point on, we're not going to be fooled by any of it anymore. It's been going on for the same way for so many years. It's like, we got to snap out of it. And this whole Middle East thing is all just a script. I bring it down to its most simplest form. I mean, does anybody know anybody who's been hurt over there ever for 75 years? Do you know? See, I was talking to, I've got a friend who was born in Israel. He was born in Tel Aviv, and he's got family members over there right now. And they're telling him that it's really bad. His uncle and his cousins are part of the IDF because, you know, everybody has to be part of the IDF if you live there.
Yeah. It's like most countries when you're 18, you have to go in. Korea is the same way, right?
Yeah. And so he said, my cousins say it's really bad. I said, well, what does really bad mean? I mean, you got to be specific, because I saw a video of these IDF soldiers being interviewed, and they said, we're doing drills every day. It's really bad because it might get real. So we're doing drills every day. And it's like, well, just doing drills every day does not mean it's bad. You know,
the one that showed a video where they put the sirens, you have to get out of your car, pull off on the freeway and jump into the median. I saw a video of that. Is that your video that you put up?
No, that wasn't mine.
But the people of Israel are on drills all the time. I think that's part of your life.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that most of the people of Israel are completely under a spell as well. And I doubt they've seen anything real. They see the fireworks that are called missiles that intercept Iron Dome. And I think if people are old enough, they remember the famous Scud missiles that Saddam had the crappy Scud missiles, which reminds you of the Roadrunner coyote competition, you know, where the Roadrunner coyote always had the worst Acme products.
Yeah, he sent a few Scuds over to Saudi Arabia. And a few Scuds, I think, over to Israel during the
Tel Aviv.
The first war or something, and they were missed their target. They had the news told us they had horrible, location or tracking guidance systems, and so they would just explode in the desert somewhere. But it was a fear campaign, and so all of it has just been just BS the entire time. It's just.
You should read this script. I don't even know if these people existed, Uday and Kuse. I think it's just a narrative device. You got to read this stuff. This stuff is written like a bad novel. Let me just give you the opening line here. Okay. Despite his appetite for power and sexual indulgence, it is widely recognized that Uday was highly intelligent. In 1998, he earned a doctorate in political science from the University of Baghdad, completing his doctoral thesis titled The World After the Cold War. Once destined to succeed his father, Uday's lust for senseless murder resulted in his younger brother, Kuse, being favored instead. Uday's political downfall began at the age of 19 when he clubbed to death Saddam's valet and friend, Kamal Hanna.
Yeah, this.
Do you believe that? Rushing to the scene, Saddam delivered an ultimatum to his son. If Camel would die, so would Uday. Yeah. And it was Uday's mother commuted his death sentence by his father of torture.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, this has been a bad script the entire time. Yeah, this whole Middle East thing. It's, yeah. Oh, and you know what? There's no Samson option either. Israel's not going to turn the whole place to glass because their nukes don't exist.
Yeah, so exactly.
We don't have to worry about the Samson option either. You know,
what is that officially? They said that every world capital has a Israeli nuke pointed at it or something.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Isn't that what this? Well, wait.
I heard the Samson option was just Israel was going to turn the whole Middle East to glass because they have like 200 secret nukes that they claim to have or something.
Yeah, Samson option is Israel's deterrent strategy of massive retaliation with nuclear weapons as a last resort against a country whose military has invaded and or destroyed much of Israel. Commentators have also employed the term to refer to situations where non-nuclear, non-Israeli actors have threatened conventional weapons, such as Yasser Arafat.
Hell yeah.
Of course, Israel's not supposed to officially have nuclear weapons, which doesn't matter because I agree with you, they don't exist, but just to make things even more confusing. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. The CIA believes Israel has to, like, come on. Israel is a creation of the United States. I mean,
yeah.
I know people think Israel runs America. No, the British and America created Israel. For God's sakes, all the prime minister, they're all trained by America and Britain. So yeah. Come on. They're running the war right now out of gutter. It's called CENTCOM, Central Command. Who do you think's running this?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was Desert Storm. Stupid said. I remember Desert Storm. That was it. That's where what was his name? That General Weisskopfer.
Yeah. Schwarzkopf.
Schwarzkopf. Right.
Yeah. He was a character.
Yeah. It was a narrative device.
Yeah.
And do you remember the other star of that TV show called Desert Storm?
It was Timothy McVeigh.
No, the propaganda minister for Iraq, Baghdad Bob, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It was a comedy show. The guy was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, he was the minister of propaganda. I guess he was kind of like a Goebbels, you know?
Yeah, going back and looking at it with the new eyes, it's like, yeah, the whole thing was just a joke. Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny, man.
And again, so nobody, and if all of this was true, if all of these events were true, then we would have known somebody who's been hurt over there. We live in a world of 6 degrees of separation. And not even my friend who has family over there in Israel doesn't know anyone who's been hurt. Now, he says that he knows of somebody who knows someone who's been taken hostage, but it's like, but they don't personally know them. It's like, okay, so again, that's a rumor from a friend of a friend, you know, and he listened to me, he heard me out, even though it unsettled his stomach to think that his uncle and his cousins were lying to him. I said, well, they're not lying to you. They're just spreading the rumor that they've heard, you know, and all of us have been guilty of spreading rumors without firsthand knowledge. You know, I used to spread rumors all the time. I never had firsthand knowledge of any of this shit that I talk about. Nothing. And so if I just stick to what I have firsthand knowledge of, well, then everything's fake because I've never seen any of it. None of it's real. In my hometown, everything has been boring and nothing ever happens.
See, I'm kind of worried that all this stuff we're seeing here was also filmed on a soundstage.
Mm-hmm. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a picture of Saddam Hussein's statue.
Remember
Saddam
this?
Hussein on a horse. Yeah. We have been led to believe that U.S. forces may be about to blow up this statue.
Now, isn't that funny? So they're ready. They've got the camera trained. The media is led to believe. I mean, do you hear the words they're saying? This is all kind of legalese. Everything they're saying is we're lying to you.
Yeah. We're going to take this full screen and watch it for a while.
So the media is just going to watch the horse.
Yeah.
We are listening to pictures from downtown Baghdad, looking at pictures, listening to sound a picture from downtown Baghdad. That statue is not far from where our Greg Kelly is. It is a picture. It is a statue of Saddam Hussein on a horse. And we have been given some guidance that perhaps in the next few minutes.
Oh, it's all pixelated. Okay.
Well, it looks like it just got blown up, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that was it.
Did you see how they pixelated that? Now it's gone. It's like David Copperfield.
Apparently, U.S. forces have taken some kind of gun and blown that statue.
What kind of gun would do the pixelation of the horse? I think Judy Wood was over there. He justified. Did you see that? That was funny. Oh, you got to put this
picture. It is a statue of Saddam Hussein on a horse.
They pixelated the horse.
Given some guidance that perhaps in the next few minutes. Well, it looks like it just got blown up, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that was it.
Oh, listen to the soundtrack of people cheering.
I've never seen this before.
I know. This is what we used to watch. This was entertainment, man.
Yeah.
But this was Sega Genesis video game level graphics.
I never saw that before. Yeah, that's very fake. Yeah, that's
Did you ever play my first video game I played? Was Adventure on the Atari 2600.
Wow.
I think the thing cost me $400. The game was probably $50. And when the dragon died, it pixelated like that. You know, there's four dragons.
Yeah. that's hilarious.
Apparently, U.S. forces have taken some kind of gun and blown some that kind statue of gun to absolute smithereens.
What kind of gun would do
those
that?
Pictures were... Yes, let's go back to the Iraqi information minister.
Microwave
weapons from outer space.
Presidential palace. The Iraqi still in control of the Ministry of Information, the Foreign Ministry. Let's go listen.
So, Geraldo, they filmed a lot of the Afghanistan war. They filmed it in the Mojave Desert, out by Las Vegas and out here, even in San Diego County. Geraldo did a stunt with the army. They were playing Army Man he said that he was in Afghanistan and he was taking fire, but I can totally tell that he was in San Diego County because I know the plants that grow in San Diego. It's like, you're in San Diego County. It's like, and Geraldo's out there just playing Army Man like he was in Afghanistan. You're not in Afghanistan. And
Have some kind of fully, they had a simulation of the conditions in Iraq in one of the deserts, like Nevada or California, there's a whole town they built there.
Yeah.
And we were speculating. I remember when we used to talk about this 10 years ago that we think what would happen if they would load the troops up in the U.S. in a cargo plane and just fly around the U.S. a couple times and land in California and say, here you are, you're in Iraq.
Yeah.
How would you know?
Yeah.
Right,
but it would be easier just to have a core group of guys, maybe 40 guys that are in on it.
Yeah,
and you can perpetrate an entire battle scene with like 40 guys, and you do it all for the camera, and you know, so it doesn't take. I mean, see, most people, they don't believe that so many people could be in on the hoax, and that's why my friend at the dog park, he just kind of tunes me out. He said, "Phil, there's no way all these thousands of people could be involved in this hoax."
Okay, wait a sec. And then you got my favorite comeback is, okay, they're telling us that the Manhattan Project, there were 100,000 people involved in the Manhattan Project. So did they let the secret out? So I think that's the best comeback.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good comeback. Yeah. And also.
And that's that's the official story.
That's probably misinformation too, because I've never met anybody who was involved in the Manhattan Project. And so they probably told us all these people were involved. But
100, here's one of their favorite numbers. 130,000 people at its peak.
Wow. Okay,
come on. So does that mean 130,000 people could keep a secret?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. And so it could be that many of the people were compartmentalized. They were working on and they didn't know the big picture. They were just working in their own office. And
it's called siloed. We get that, but it's more likely that there were 10 people working on it.
Yeah,
because it's a propaganda episode.
Just setting up the cameras. Yeah, just doing the lighting, setting up the lights and the cameras. And my grandfather worked on the stealth bomber. Okay. And he would always, when we had dinner, he would always have his watch from, he worked for Northrop Grumman, and he had his watch with the stealth bomber on it. And see, I was 20 years old when I had my last cogent conversation with him. During the last 10 years of his life, he had dementia. So none of those conversations were cogent. But if I can go back to my 20-year-old self, I would have some serious questions to ask my grandpa. But back then, I did ask him one question. I said, "What makes the stealth bomber so special?"
Hmm.
And he said, "Well, the only weapon it can carry is nuclear weapons." And right. I said, "Well, that doesn't make it special because we got ICBMs that can hit any city in the world with pinpoint accuracy." It's like, why do we need a stealth bomber to do what the ICBMs can already do? And so he kind of laughed and he said, "Well, no, the stealth bomber can deliver a nuke to any place on Earth being undetected." And I said, "Well," and he said, "I couldn't understand it because we already have that capability." But because I was told we have ICBMs that could go into outer space and then come down and they can't be stopped. And so now they've got the new hypersonic missile, right? Now the new Cold War is the hypersonic missile is the one that never leaves atmosphere. It doesn't go into outer space like the old ICBMs. And that makes it supposedly more deadly than the ICBMs. I was like, well, how is that possible? Because if it stays in the atmosphere, you got lots of opportunities to shoot it down. But so they've never gotten their story straight ever on this, you know. Now it's we're supposed to be afraid of the hypersonic missiles now, you know.
I've never even heard of them, but I'm not following the latest, but
they just keep changing. It's just
all right. What else we got on your page today?
Let's see, what else did I just did the usual fake cries. I get a lot of amusement with these people pretending to cry, and it makes me laugh. And so, there's not a single tear coming out of her eye. And they're teaching the kids, you know, to do this. And that's kind of distasteful, you know.
Very distasteful. And, well, they're going to be adult liars, so they got to make
It's a street hustle, is what it is. It's a street
You were starting to call them gypsies.
Yeah. This woman here is describing having her brother's head decapitated from his body, and her son got killed with her brother, and she doesn't shed a single tear. I mean, are you serious? You saw your brother's head decapitated from his body, and you're not crying.
Wait a sec. This fits. There was a decapitation story in the last week, was there not? About I don't follow the news as much. I heard this on the No Agenda show. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be a white nationalist. What was it?
The decapitation.
He actually held the picture of his dad's head in the video.
Yeah, and the head is in a plastic bag.
Right.
Yeah, somebody posted that on my comment section. I saw it, and you know, it looked since the head was in a plastic bag, you know, that means it looked fake to me. It's like, well, if it was a real head, you wouldn't be putting it in a plastic bag to disguise, you know, the realness of it. You know, you would be showing off your real head, you know, without any plastic, you know. And so it was, once I
he
saw
is now in hell for eternity as a traitor to his country.
Oh, yeah.
It is said that those who commit treason and betray others occupy the lowest pits of hell for all time.
This is the story of Justin Moan, 32, was arrested nearly 100 miles from a grisly crime scene. where he severed his father's head off and posted it on a YouTube video. Authorities say Moan's mother found her husband's body without its head in a bathroom. In a 14-minute video, apparently posted by Moan, the suspect rails against federal employees and calls his father a traitor.
My father. He is now in hell for eternity as a...
Okay, I guess that's it. That one doesn't... Now, if YouTube takes all our stuff off their channel, how does a beheaded guy go viral on YouTube? Please explain that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a break. So that was on TikTok, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so I know. But at the beginning of that video, he shows the head and it's in a plastic bag and it's like, I'm not following. You know, I once I saw that, I said, oh, man, this is just a stunt. But yeah, it's a good question. It's like, why does videos like that get to go viral? And but we're kept in the basement.
Right.
You know. It
should that was a whole story. I didn't follow the story, but I don't know if you did. But no, I think it was a direct. They're trying, or they are passing some kind of law about people. I can't remember what it was, but it was directly related to the story. Hold on a sec. We got a caller in here. Hey, who's calling? Where are you calling from? Hello.
Hey, it's psychologist.
Yeah, go ahead. You got Fake Nukes Phil on as well.
Fake Nukes Phil, what's going on, man?
I'm well. Thanks for calling in.
I'm kind of in Phil's neck of the woods. I'm in Menifee.
Oh, nice. I'll be going by there tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, really? You're coming into Menifee?
Well, I'll be going to La Jolla, so I'll be going down the 15, or the 215 by Menifee, yeah.
Menifee, oh, well.
Oh, man, Fake Nukes Phil, you crack me up, man. You're funny. That's a rubber baby.
Yeah, well, you know, since we live...
Hey, I wanted to...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Phil.
Well, since we live so close to Vegas, I took a drive up there to Nevada, and I found that to the proving grounds, and there's no radiation there. You know, they blew up 900 nukes. Yeah, 900 nukes in Nevada, and there's no radiation there.
Yeah, the nukes are fake as fuck. Fake as fuck. Fake as COVID.
Yeah.
Fake as the AIDS scam. Fake as you name it. Man, Fakeologist, your show really turned me on to Fakeology. Like, well, I used to listen to a lot of like Max Egan and Adam Green and all them. And but you guys are like on a whole nother level.
Well, yeah, since Phil came on the scene, he really is a shot in the arm for the old Fakeologist topic. So that's why we have him on every week. He's doing the work, and no one else is doing the work. So he deserves his own show for sure.
Hey, I wanted to get your opinion on something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so I was to an interview with, it was with Jim Fetzer, and I think it was something Robinson.
Okay.
How he was talking about how they do all these psyops with the fake mass shootings and all that to build up like this like that they're building like the security.
Yeah, panopticon and, security state. Yeah, biosecurity state. Yeah.
And a long time ago, I was listening to a podcast or a video with John Rappaport when they were doing the AIDS scam, and he was saying the same thing about the CDC, like that. On, they were about to end their funding.
Yes, I heard that. They needed a new reason to exist, so they had to create they needed a business case.
Hold on, I got this truck alarm going off next to me.
All right.
I'm doing some shopping. I'm moving away from this truck. I don't know if you guys could hear that.
I did. You're a little staticky on the line there, but we can hear you.
Should I switch to, can you hear me good now?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
It's good enough.
Yeah, it's good enough.
We allow good enough first on the show.
Yeah, good enough counts.
This is the first show I've ever called in on or been on or anything like that.
Wow. Nice. I better put your, what's your first name? I should have put it on the screen here just for the people to see.
My name's Andy.
Andy. Okay, I'll put caller on the line is Andy. There you go. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from, are you in the mountain in California? Is that where you are or up the mountain?
No, I'm in Menifee. I'm about 20 minutes north of Temecula.
Okay. That means nothing to me, but you're in Southern California somewhere where it's warm.
Yeah, I think I'm about an hour away.
Yeah, it takes about an hour, yeah, from Palm Springs. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're about 40 hours from Toronto, so we're not going to visit anytime soon, but so I'm glad you're interested in fakeology, and I'm glad you graduated from the Fear Factor. It's too bad. I'm hoping that Max Egan will watch some of Phil's videos and try and explain those extremely flexible babies.
Like him and Adam Green, they're all on Gaza genocide. I totally agree with Phil. If they had airstrikes flying over the city of Gaza, they're saying 24 hours a day, there would be blood and guts and brains all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
I was telling my mom how, like, I drive a tow truck, and there was a guy who was in a crash with a rollover, and it chopped the top half of his head off.
Like, you drive a tow truck?
Yeah.
Oh, you've probably seen a lot worse. Do you have to go through counseling after going by dealing with these crash scenes?
I haven't actually done any fatalities. We've actually ended the contract with them, but some of my coworkers have, and they told me stories. And yeah, and just like it, like I always tell people, drive safely. From my opinion, you drive a semi, I think.
I do.
Yeah.
Got my Class A, but I don't use it yet. I've only got training out of schooling. But anyways, I totally agree with Phil. Like all these videos, like these kids are totally fine. A building fell on them, and they just got a little bit of dust on them.
Isn't it a relief, Phil? Like to me, it's like we should rename Phil Good News Phil, because isn't it good news? I mean, really,
to me it is. Like I tell people all the time when I'm telling with them, especially long distance, I give them the whole rundown. Like I don't sugarcoat shit.
Yeah.
I tell them that I don't exist. I tell them the AIDS scam was the exact same thing. They were killing people with AZT. Don't fall for it. Don't get your kids vaccinated. I tell them about the adjuvant. Mercury, the aluminum. Like I give them the rundown. Like I don't sugarcoat it. Like it's up to them if they want to. You probably think I'm some crazy tow truck driver, but I'm telling you on the real.
Oh, it's the people that work on the ground that are the closest to the truth. I'll trust a guy in the ground before I trust a guy in some high end office in the sky for sure. We're on the ground. We see the pavement.
Yeah, the people on the ground can do the best investigation.
How do I donate to the fakeologist?
Oh, well, I thought you would never ask. Thank you very much. I actually just bumped into my neighbor, and he does a talk show too, believe it or not, right on radio. And I was telling him about DonorBox. I just literally was talking half an hour ago. So if you go to fakeologist.com/donate, the first window is donor box. You don't need your name, you don't need an account, nothing. You just punch in this and then punch in preferably your own credit card. Yeah, fakeologist.com/donate.
/donate.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Can I do a monthly recurrence?
You know what, you can do whatever you think the show is worth. That's what we encourage. So if you think it's worth $1 a show, then you give whatever the heck you want. There's no right amount for anyone. You just do whatever you think is best, and that's what I encourage. And I personally think the show's worth maybe $1, so $1 a time is great.
I think it's worth more than that, man. Like,
no, I'm giving you a base. I'm trying to be humble here.
I think you guys got the best show. Like I agree with you guys. Nobody else goes where you go.
Well,
believe the narrative. Nukes are real. Nuclear Armageddon. The Samson option. I'm like, give me a break. It's weapons of mass deception is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they've been fooling us for a lot of years. It's time to think outside that box. Yeah.
Yeah, fully agree.
Well, Andy, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate you calling in and even bringing up the donation. That was totally unsolicited, but I really appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
Like I'm totally gonna donate. Look out for it.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Andy.
It. Call back again, okay?
Yeah, I'll call back next Wednesday. It's cool.
All right. You're certainly welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
All right. Take care. Be blessed. And Phil, do you want to speak to Dave J tonight? He just came into the studio.
Oh, yeah. Put Dave J on.
Dave J, are you on the line there?
Hey, Dave. Yes, J. I am. Hi,
Dave.
Hi, cheers, guys. I just wanted to tell you about the bag in the head, the bowling bag head.
You have some good news on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, nobody died. Nobody got hurt. But when you were reading the story, I just wanted to tell you, you mentioned 32, and then you went down and you mentioned 14. So if you just look at the idea of the 32, that's the idea of two threes, right? So then that's the idea of 3-3 or 6 or present. That's your 33. But then you look at the 14, that's your double 7. Remember I told you about the double 7 idea
on
the 14? And then 14 then also reduces to 5 or senses. So you notice that you have the idea of a balance. So they're giving you this idea. They're giving you this bag in the head or head in the bag. And they're saying, if you believe this story, this present, this idea of the 6 we're giving you, then you have to believe that somebody literally chopped off their head and gave that goofball speech. But then you have to then accept that death, and that's going to actually weigh on your soul. So it's best to just dismiss it and tell people that nobody died, nobody got hurt. And by the numbers, absolutely every single time, it will break down for you. Every time, without a doubt.
That thing looked like the thing we picked up at Costco for Thanksgiving.
the biggest ham.
How much per pound was that head?
Well, that was like in that World War II when they were showing the Phil. You'll like this in the WW2 video I did. They zoom in on the so-called corpse of a Nazi, right? And then they zoom into the side of his face, and guess what? When you look at his neck, you see his pulse in his neck. And what I say in the video is that the corpse should not have a pulse in his neck meat.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. It's like, so they actually give you the clue so that the words will say one thing, but the video will show something different. So the audio will say, oh, this, we're showing you a dead body. But then if you actually look at it without the sound, you're like, that's not a dead body. That's a guy playing dead. Therefore, it's just like, get up, you know, cut. Okay, great. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. See how, so the meaning's completely different now. There's no like, oh, I got to feel bad for this, blah, blah, blah. And and I can't laugh at the fact that his leg looked like a ham hock. You know, I can't do that because the guy's dead, right? So then once you take the death out of the room, then you can laugh at the obvious production quality, which is very low once you actually start to study it, as you've noticed, right? Once you start to watch the video,
Real photos of dead civilians, raped girls over there.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Well, you saw nothing. You want to believe that. Therefore, when you see the picture, you then believe it. And unfortunately, that right there, that idol is going to keep you in the system until you destroy that idol. You want to believe that because then it leads you into the Nazi or believe in the whole idea of the strong Germany. You've got to give that up as well. That's a false idol. Once you give that up and it'll have no power over you, Phil, you can give away that the raped girls on the street. None of that happened. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you the good news, Phil.
Swollen faces, swollen hands.
Nope.
Their skirts are pulled up.
Are you going to tell them about the panties?
I'm 34.
Aren't you going to give them the actual trigger? The exposed panties? And then what did you say the one time? The pubes? That's what really got you going, isn't it?
I never said that.
You did say that in your video.
You ever see a dead corpse of a 12-year-old or 13-year-old girl in there? And their skirt
No, and you haven't
that
either.
That means
you haven't either.
They died.
You have not either seen. You have not seen that either.
I have not seen it.
In fact, post the video. Post the photo. Ad will pop it up on the fake code thing, and everybody can judge. So it's not just me and you. All right, do that for me. No. Do the work for me.
I've seen it.
I've seen the whole thing from beginning to end. There's no death in there. It's all production. It's all Hollywood. It's all Hollywood, Phil. So what I'm asking you to do is to go to the screenshot, send it to Ab. Ab will post it, and everybody will look at it for themselves, and they will see that it's phony. And then hopefully you will be led out of your out of this deception, and then you will be truly free.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the girl with the swollen face and the swollen hands. You can tell that she's been raped about 30 times.
Post a picture. Yeah. Post a picture, and you will be and you will be helped out. Everybody around you will say, "Hey, Phil, look, come on, buddy, look at this picture. You've led yourself into a corner, and you think people are going to mock you for walking out."
And nobody has said that's a fake photo.
I just did. I just told you it was.
Yeah, I know. And you're the
do
only
I not
one.
Count?
You're the only
do
one.
Do I not count? So I don't count for anything.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. I.
So you're going to dismiss me? Is what you're doing? You're.
I mean, right. the majority of evidence supports the fact
there that is no majority of evidence. There's a video called Hellstorm, which if you watch it from beginning to end, it's obvious propaganda and nonsense, just like every other war related video. Period.
Yeah, I don't know.
Phil, you've got to stop. You've got to stop this. You've got to stop what you're doing.
A very compelling story, and
it's not a compelling story.
Happened in Germany. Two million girls were raped over there.
No, so that didn't happen.
Rape.
That did not happen, Phil.
Do you think anyone was raped?
No, what are you talking about? No. We're not going to go there, Tim.
In Hellstorm,
there is no depiction. In Hellstorm, there is no depiction of rape. I'm telling you that right now.
Okay, Dave, do you think any atrocities happened in the war?
No.
Really? Wow.
Well, Russia. Because you can't show any evidence of it. Every evidence you show is proven nonsense. So do you have proof of any?
Do you think any happened without evidence? Anything bad happened?
By war? Quote, war? No.
No? Okay, no. Well, good. Everyone was on their best behavior.
Let me ask you this.
That's early.
You gave me a question. I'll give you a question. Do you think that anyone was raped? And if you did, give me a name.
I think during war.
Give me a name. No. No, you don't get to do that.
All right.
You get to witness with a name.
Thanks for calling him, buddy.
Witness with a name.
Okay. All right. There's Dave.
Dave was on a roll right there.
He was going good. Dave needs his own show. You know what he reminds me of? Dr. Laura. Did you ever listen to Dr. Laura?
No, I never did.
Oh, people would call in to her show to be berated because they'd say, I'm having this. She did relationship counseling.
Okay.
So people would call in for a beatdown. if anyone wants to talk about any dying or destruction during war, call the Dave J show and he will beat you to a pulp and then you can hang up.
Yeah.
the problem is the first casualty in any war is the truth. Let's be honest. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll say one last thing on the matter is that if all those German girls were lying about being raped, well, then why didn't the Jewish girls lie? Because in Auschwitz, we have zero stories of rape. And if you think about it, that's the easiest place to rape because these people are going to the gas chamber anyway. You'd simply just pick a girl out of the line. But yet, if I've listened to many hundreds of survivor stories from Auschwitz, and not a single one of them describe rape happening. Now, one guy describes a masturbation machine where they put the young boys in a room and they had a machine that comes by and it would masturbate the boys to death. And so that was weird. That was a weird story.
That's pretty gross.
but that
was right beside the lamp machine.
Yeah. And then another guy told a story about how
that's some sick stuff though.
The Germans had trained their Dobermans to rape the women, and so the women would be raped by Doberman pincers, and it's like, well, that's a strange story. Also, why would the Germans train their dogs to rape the German women? But none of the because a woman is not going to describe that she's been raped because it somehow taints her reputation, and the Jewish women would never taint their reputation by claiming that they were raped ever, but yet the German women. And we have story after story after story of these German women claiming that they had been raped 50 to 100 times. And so it's the stark contrast between the two groups shows that the rape story of World War II is the biggest untold story of the war.
One story that I think, listen, we don't know what happened. There's no way. I know what Dave's point is. We cannot, first of all, none of the movies, none of the pictures we can prove are real. I know there is such thing as cognitive bias confirmation bias, where if you have one side of the story and you want to confirm it, it will look more real to you. I'm not going to really get into whether they're real or not, those pictures. I'm just going to say, like Tim Osmond says, if it's fakeable, it probably is. It probably was faked. However, there were atrocities for sure, because once this whole war, so-called war, starts, it seems like all rules are off. Now, the other story I heard when I'm doing my Zundel investigation, I think there was a story somebody said, either it was Jürgen on the Jürgen and Jürgen show we had last week. They said when the Germans found out that German officers were messing with the locals wherever they were, they would literally court-martial the guy on the spot, because they did not want any of that kind of thing happening and tainting their army and army's reputation. So there were rules of engagement for sure that men followed. And don't mess with the civilians and fire on partisans. If someone's shooting at you without a uniform, then you just shoot to kill. So there are certain rules. There's certain honors. And I think a lot of men have honorable honorable when they're given sort of this license to kill in this so-called war environment.
Yeah. Well, I think there is a way to look at the photos and just figure out which ones are genuine and which ones are not. Frankly, because the Germans supplied us with photos and the Allies didn't. And so people tell me that the Germans were really good at making mannequins look like dead bodies. Well, I say, well, then how come the British didn't supply us with any mannequins that look like dead bodies? Because the British didn't supply us with nothing. I mean, from the London Blitz, they didn't show us any dead bodies. It's like, how come the British didn't make these? If it was so easy to make mannequins back in those days, well, then why didn't the Americans make mannequins at Pearl Harbor and have these mannequins floating in the water so that Pearl Harbor would have looked real? Because Pearl Harbor looks fake as hell when you look at it now, because there's no bodies floating in the water. And so why didn't the Americans have all these mannequins? The Germans had this mannequin machine and they could just churn out thousands of mannequins. Well, it's like, well, how come the Americans didn't use just a few of those to make these events look a little bit real? So the fact is, the Germans did not have a mannequin machine. Those bodies that I saw from Dresden were real burned civilians. I saw the eye sockets. I saw the skulls. I saw the burns on the skin. I saw those.
You're convinced it was real.
Yeah. Well, and so, and because of the lack from the other side, because the other side didn't even provide any. And so and that tells me that's real. Yeah.
Okay, let's finish up on 9/11. This is a really good video you found on the movie called The Medusa Touch. Where'd you get this one? How'd you find this video?
I got it off of 153 News. I don't even know who made it, but he found this movie
and it showed the
airplane going full throttle into a skyscraper.
So your point is, if they wanted to fake a plane crashing into a building, they should have followed this movie script.
This movie is more believable than what we saw on 9/11, because this is what the airplane would have done. This is more what the airplane would have done.
This is Richard Burton. This is way back in the day.
Yeah.
So what year was this? The 60s?
Yeah, it looks maybe early 70s, I'm thinking.
Richard Burton, Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, the...
Very good.
The airplane would have broke apart just like this.
It looked like it kind of dented the building a bit.
Yeah. But you see recognizable pieces now, of the airplane the falling Disney to the ground.
Fake news version from CNN. Something's wrong.
So yeah, that was. Where,
and so here's what we saw on 9/11, where the entire airplane just melts into the building.
You know, this is the power of video and video comparisons, because we know this is fake in our own mind. Yeah. But when it's stacked up against this fake one here,
yeah,
we can see, okay, yeah, this makes more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie version makes more sense than what we saw on 9/11, yeah.
Yeah, so this movie makes more sense than the 9/11 movie, which was cheap graphics, cheap special effects.
Yeah.
And you know, they could have even done a bet. They could have even faked the plane footage on the ground, but they were too lazy.
Yeah. I mean, they supplied us with a couple photos of
one engine.
Yeah. And then I've seen a piece of fuselage that, you know, part of the window section, like three windows, but that was placed after days after the event. And they placed it on top of a roof of one of the surrounding buildings, and they said it was from one of the airplanes, but it was completely on a different day. And they brought in some small. I've collected every single photo that people have thrown in my face. Phil, here's a piece of an airplane from 9/11, and I've gathered them, and I've got my file. And there are a couple that show like a piece of a fuselage, but it's you can tell it's clearly staged. They're placed there just like that engine. Oh, and the landing gear that they pulled out of in between the buildings that still had the rope tied onto it. Like a few years after 9/11, they found a piece of the landing gear that had thrown itself across Manhattan and landed in between two buildings. And that was also planted. And
landing gear. Let me look that up. I don't remember that one. Oh, yeah. Landing gear part found.
Yeah,
tied to 9. Oh, look at that! Yeah, that's convincing. Oh, it was wedged between the buildings.
Yes.
Oh, and they did. I remember he said we never looked there.
Yeah.
we missed the laneway when we were looking around for. Yeah, that was funny. And wasn't that years later too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see the piece of the rope that's on there. That's the rope that they used to lower it in there.
If it's even there.
If it's even there, yeah, that's right.
Who knows? Yeah, we forgot to go down this laneway at 51 Park Place, which is what, right across the street?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, it just shows they don't give a damn. Oh, here we go. We got some numerology. It's 4 feet wide, 17 inches deep. Oh, and they found it 11 years later. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, what were you doing for 11 years? Who was in charge of this laneway on the search day? Come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a very... So, again, nobody's given me any good evidence on 9/11.
All right, one more caller in before we run. All right, one more caller in. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Rick in Arizona.
Hey, Rick. I forgot to Skype on tonight. Sorry about that.
No, whatever. I want to make a couple of quick comments. Number one, as far as the war goals and the rapes, that's how they got the men to charge into Berlin. They promised them the women. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost 250,000 Russian soldiers going into Berlin. And most of those were the Mongols from out east.
Okay.
And these guys were really, they weren't white men charging into Berlin. They were the Mongols from way out east. And as far as like 9/11, as far as people claiming that there were parts on the ground, how come they never made it on eBay for sale? You know, I never saw one part from those planes on eBay.
What would you have paid for, say, a landing gear?
You know, I mean,
what would you have paid for a landing gear, do you think?
Well, what somebody would have paid, right? I mean, something from the instrument panel of one of the planes be worth? How much is a little coin from the Titanic worth?
Good point.
So, I mean, there's no human nature in any of this crap.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, really. I mean, they would be stealing parts from each other to sell them on the black market. You know, you'd be going to a party one night, 20 years later, and somebody will show you something with a serial number on it, mind you, because all the parts have serial numbers on it. So, all right. Well, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate that, Rick. You just squeezed her in right at the end of the show. I got your name up on the screen there. I appreciate that. All right. Okay. Well, that was a pretty good show tonight. We've been going about an hour. Phil, what do you think?
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
I think we got lively.
We'll have a hellstorm debate. We'll leave it for the listeners to decide for themselves if hellstorm was fake or not.
We got our admonitions from the audience.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we all need. No, that's okay. We could take it. I'm trying to find my closeout music, but I'm a little disorganized tonight, so you might have to just hum along for the closeout music if you want. I know people are complaining, oh, the music at the end, it's so hypnotic, it drives me crazy. Okay, good. I'm going to make sure I play it then. So here it is. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Phil, for coming on tonight. If I can.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
All right, guys, that is the end of the show. We do about an hour. Phil has a busy day. He's got to go to Temecula or some faraway place tomorrow. So I got to get up early, too. And thank everyone for calling in. Thanks to Dave J for his straightening out. Thanks to Rick for letting us know. So lots of debate on what happens in a war. And, of course, as I said, the first casualty is the truth. We're just speculating. We're just having some fun trying to figure things out. The hoaxes of yesterday and of today. Okay. Thank you to Andy, the first caller, actually, for mentioning fakeologist.com/donate. We are value for value. You pay whatever you think the show is worth. You think it's worth $1, $2, $3, $10, whatever you think. You got to support independent media. So I really appreciate anyone and everyone for all their donations. And we had quite a few here. I should mention them, only to be fair. We had Not Shocked, Peter L., Jeremy B. We had Franny, P. Trippa, Christine, Rachel, Wild Times. And, of course, we had a few others. Mark Tukarski, Gibby, Kirby Sexrit Lady, Greg, Ezra T. They are monthly donors. Thank you so much. They set it and forget it. But thank you guys for kicking in. And, of course, Dave J was a donor many times as well. I really appreciate him donating. And all the others, past and future. So thank you so much. Tomorrow is, what day is tomorrow? Thursday. And Frank should be around, so we'll talk to Frank. And we have the audio chat server went for a dump yesterday, so I may have to take a day or two off to try and get that up again. Just is a matter of time. It takes time to do these things, and therefore this audio may not be as smooth sounding as it could be. All right, everybody, thanks so much. And we will talk to you next time. Have a great night and see you tomorrow. Take care.